Okay, our friend. Today we are reading a story to you because we learned a little bit about what it would be like if we went to the moon, right? But what if we went elsewhere in space? What if we went through all of our solar system? Let's read about it. Today's story is called Glow in the Dark Voyage Through Space. It was written by Katie Flint and it's illustrated by Cornelia Lee. Today's story is read by Mommy and
Philip.
Philip, I'm so glad you're here. Shall we journey together?
Yeah.
Let's go. And my friends, if you like space, this book is a must check out. When we open the book, we're going to see something big and hot and inspiring. It's the sun. And it says, our adventure begins at the very center of our solar system. The sun is a star that gives off light and heat. Its pulling force, called gravity, keeps our solar system together. On our journey, we will visit the 8 planets that travel around the sun in oval paths called orbits. The closest 4 planets to the sun are made of rock. We could stand on them. And if we had the right spacesuit to protect us from the sun's heat and to help us breathe, the next 4 planets are much larger and made of gas. And they don't have solid surfaces. So we would fall through them if we tried to land. So let's explore. Let's watch out for explosions and asteroids and comets on our voyage through space. So, here's some fun facts. The solar system is part of our galaxy. It's a big group of stars called the Milky Way, and there are billions of galaxies in the universe. We can see the sun here in the picture, and it's also got some fun facts about it. The sun isn't special. There are many, many other stars just like it in space, but to us, it's the most important star in the universe because without it, guess what? There'd be no life on Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Solar flares are explosions that come out from the surface of the sun. And sunspots are cooler, darker-looking patches on the sun's surface. And in the pictures, we can see where all of the hot, fiery bits are and where the solar spots are and all that sunspots are and everything like that. But there is also a note here that's very important, and it says, never look directly at the sun, even with sunglasses. It can seriously damage your eyes in seconds. Our explorers have magic glasses that protect them on the journey, because in the picture we can see the explorer. She's looking up at the sun, and oof, you want to be very careful to not look too closely at this big burning ball of gas. Incredible, huh? So the next thing we see is Mercury. Mercury is the first stop on our journey and the closest planet to the sun. It is the smallest planet in our solar system, and it moves around the sun very quickly. So look around. Mercury's wrinkled gray surface is scarred with craters. Now, meteors have been crashing into it for millions of years. In fact, it looks very much like Earth's moon. It's scorched by solar rays because this planet is blisteringly hot in the daytime and very cold at night. Most planets are named after Roman gods and goddesses. Mercury is named after the winged messenger god because it moves around the sun so quickly. Zip, zap, zip. Mercury does not have a moon. Mm-mm. A moon is an object that makes an orbit around a planet. But Mercury is the closest planet to the sun. And here's another fun fact for you. The sun looks so huge in the sky because Mercury is so close to it. It gives us an idea of what it looks like, right? It helps you kind of get its size. Now, a robotic probe called MESSENGER orbited Mercury hundreds of times to take pictures of the planet and then beam information back to Earth. Did you know that? A year is the time it takes a planet to go around the sun. So on Earth, a year is 365.25 days. Whereas on Mercury, a year is only 88 days long. because it is just flying around that sun. Isn't that interesting? So, next up is Venus, the hottest planet in our solar system. It is covered with thick clouds that bounce and scatter sunlight into space. So if you were to stand on this planet's gray rocks, everything would look orange due to the way the light filters through the thick atmosphere. This atmosphere acts like a blanket and traps the sun's heat, making Venus violently hot. Crippling pressure, acid rain, intense heat, lightning storms, and hurricane winds make this planet impossible to explore. For now. Venus? That's right. Venus also does not have a moon, but Venus is named after the Roman goddess of love and beauty. Although, I don't think the planet looks that beautiful, do you? Yeah, Venus is the second planet from the sun and Earth's closest neighbor. Temperatures can reach a sizzling 860 degrees Fahrenheit on Venus. Without the right equipment, life on Venus would be very short. On stepping out of the spacecraft, you'd be squashed flat by pressure and then fried by heat. And this is before you even got a chance to breathe in the poisonous gases. Japan's Akatsuki spacecraft has completed successful orbits around Venus. It was sent there to learn about the planet's toxic atmosphere, cloud layers, volcanoes, and lightning. I don't think I'd want a vacation there. What about you? Now, the Earth and the Moon are next in line. Stepping down onto the moon, we can look back on Earth in the distance. Earth, of course, is our home planet and has just the right conditions for life to exist. It's not too hot or too cold, and it's covered in water. And because there is so much water, life is developed there. Full of mountains and greenery and oceans, Earth is home to millions of plants and animals, and the moon looks dusty and rocky and gray in comparison. We have not found anywhere else in the universe with the same conditions as Earth. So let's keep exploring. Now, there was a space race between the USA and the USSR to send the first humans to the moon, and in 1969, American astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were the first to touch down there. Footprints stay on the moon for millions of years because there isn't any wind or rain to get rid of them. But we already knew that, right? Now, one side of the moon always faces away from the Earth, so you can never see it. And this is called the far side of the moon. Now, scientists at the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, which is known as NASA, helped to get astronauts to the moon. They calculated detailed paths for takeoff and landing, making sure that the astronauts could get home. Earth is our only planet in the solar system to have just one moon. Some have many, and others don't have any at all. Now, buckle up, friends, because it's about to get intense. The next stop is Mars, the rusty red planet. But don't be fooled by that fiery red color. The temperature on Mars can be extremely cold, as low as minus 150 degrees Fahrenheit at night. But like Earth, Mars has seasons. And a Martian summer's day, well, the temperatures can reach up to 68 degrees Fahrenheit. However, the winds can be fierce all year round, wearing down rocks and whipping dust into clouds that turn the sky pink. A dust storm is coming. We better go. And in the pictures, we can see our explorer and the dust storm coming from behind her. It says one Martian day is called a sol and is roughly 39 minutes longer than a day on Earth. So a day on Earth is about what? How many hours are there in a day? Do you know?
24.
24 is correct. We think Mars was once like Earth. It had rivers and lakes and volcanoes, but Mars dried up and cooled down, while Earth developed the conditions for life to grow. Now, Mars is home to the largest volcano in the solar system. It's called Olympus Mons. Yeah, and the dry surface of Mars is rocky and full of craters. Mars, of course, is the fourth planet from the sun, and here's your fun fact. Mars has, that's right, two moons, Deimos and Phobos. Now, before we get into our next round of planets, what do we have to do? We have to take a pit stop because we've arrived at the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. Now, asteroids are pieces of rock that orbit the sun, but they're too small and misshapen to be called planets. They are all different shapes and sizes. Some are as small as 30 feet, and some are as large as 300 miles wide. There are millions of asteroids here, but don't worry, we won't crash into them as they are, in fact, far apart. Billions of years ago, as the solar system developed, the whole universe looked like an asteroid belt. Well, scientists think that the asteroids joined together to form the planets. Scientists think that a large meteor strike caused the extinction of the dinosaurs, and the asteroid that fell to Earth was about 6 miles wide and caused earthquakes, fires, tidal waves, and volcanic eruptions. Whoa, scientists, that's pretty intense. Now, the word asteroid means star-like. So, asteroids are made out of rock, metal, or both. Sometimes asteroids can fall to Earth, although they normally burn up before they get there. If they reach Earth's atmosphere, and they actually reach the planet Earth, we call them meteorites. What do you think about that? Now, Ceres is the largest object in the asteroid belt. It is also called a dwarf planet. Dwarf planets are round and orbit the sun, but they're not big enough to be a real planet. And they're missing some important things to be a real planet. They have to kind of clear their neighborhood of other rocks and stuff, which is why Ceres is not a real planet. Not big enough, first of all, and didn't do its job. It's also not perfectly shaped round like the other planets are. Now, moving past the asteroid belt, we find Jupiter. Stormy Jupiter is the largest planet in our solar system. This king of the planets is covered with multicolored stripes and spots, but there is one very angry red spot that stands out from the rest. The Great Red Spot is a huge storm, bigger than Earth itself, which has been raging for hundreds of years. As we get close to Jupiter's stripes, we can see and smell that they are fast-moving clouds of poisonous gases. So we'll stop before we get too close. And if we flew through that layers of clouds into its liquid surface, we would not survive. Jupiter is the fifth planet from the sun. And NASA's Juno spacecraft is studying Jupiter right this very moment. So in the picture, we can see some of the moons of Jupiter. There's Ganymede and Io and Europa and Callisto. We haven't found life anywhere else in the universe yet, but I don't know, it might exist on one of those moons. Then there is, if you were to fly to Jupiter's North Pole, you could see the light show called the Aurora, because they have a light show like we do. Isn't that interesting? Every day on Jupiter is cloudy, but it has lightning storms brighter than any on Earth. So as I mentioned, Jupiter's four largest moons are Ganymede, Callisto, Io, and Europa, but it also has many others. Explosive Io is covered with volcanoes and pizza-colored markings, while icy Europa is thought to have water beneath its surface. We don't know, do we? Next comes Saturn. It's the ringed planet and our next destination. Its rings are made out of very small bits of ice and dust and rock that circle around the planet. Many moons are scattered between its rings and beyond. Living on Saturn would be impossible, as its surface is made mostly of swirling gases and liquids, but a few of its moons, such as Enceladus, are thought to have their own oceans, so one day life could be possible there. Now, the weather on Saturn is more windy than the very strongest hurricanes on Earth, and you can see Saturn glowing gold from the night sky from Earth. So Saturn, of course, is the sixth planet from the Sun. NASA's Cassini spacecraft traveled to Saturn to gather new information. It sent back amazing pictures of Saturn's rings and moons. Look out for Saturn's moons, especially Enceladus. It is one of the brightest objects in space. At Saturn's North Pole is a storm shaped like a hexagon, and there's nothing like it in the rest of the solar system. Shaped like a hexagon up there. Anybody know? As we leave Saturn, look out for Uranus. It glows blue in the distance. Uranus spins on its side and looks like it's been knocked over. It has the coldest surface in the universe, and we cannot stand on it as it is yet another gas planet. Beneath its blue-green clouds, scientists think diamonds fall like hailstones. Mountains of gems are pulled toward the planet's core and from shimmering oceans where massive gems float like icebergs. Ugh, if only we could get down there to check. Wouldn't that be amazing? Because of the way Uranus spins, one side of the planet faces the sun for a very long time and then faces away from it for a very long time. NASA's Voyager 2 is the only probe to explore all four gas planets. Now, Uranus has 13 faint rings, but they're not as bright and shiny as Saturn's. Uranus, of course, is the seventh planet from the sun and is named after the Greek god of the sky. It is the only planet to be named after a Greek god rather than a Roman god. And Uranus has 27 moons. All of them are named after famous characters from Shakespeare's plays. Yeah. All right. Next comes Neptune. The final planet on our journey is Neptune, the ice giant. It is thought to be the windiest planet in our solar system, even windier than its fellow gas giant, Jupiter. It looks deep blue because of the methane gas in its atmosphere. Bright white clouds streak across this planet, and one moves very quickly indeed. It's nicknamed Scooter. Neptune is the furthest planet from the sun, and there's still a lot we don't know about it. This planet goes around the sun once every 165 Earth years. It's moving pretty slow. But it is the eighth planet from the sun. And here are some fun facts about it. Ready? Neptune's largest moon, Triton, has ice volcanoes. Uh-huh. It's extremely cold at -390 degrees Fahrenheit, and its frosty surface has the texture of a cantaloupe. It took 12 years for Voyager 2 to reach Neptune from Earth. And six faint rings circle this planet. You can barely see them in the picture. The largest storm on Neptune was spotted by Voyager 2, and it's named the Great Dark Spot. It has since disappeared, so maybe it's over. Lest you think that's the end of things. We have now traveled billions of miles from the sun and have reached the Kuiper Belt. It's very much like an asteroid belt, but about 200 times bigger and about 20 times wider. This frisbee-shaped area is made up of thousands of lumps of ice and rock and metal, which orbit the sun very slowly. Past the edges of our solar system lurks interstellar space. Only one spacecraft has ever gone this far before, NASA's Voyager 1. It's time for us to return home and plan our next adventure. And in the pictures, friends, we can see NASA's New Horizons spacecraft. It has been exploring Pluto and its moons. Now, Pluto has 5 moons, and its closest moon is called Charon. In the Kuiper Belt, we find Pluto. It used to be called a planet, but astronomers now call it a dwarf planet-like Ceres because it's so small it could fit inside the United States. And Pluto has a heart-shaped marking on its surface, like almost like it's saying, "Hello, I love you." Most comets begin life in the Kuiper Belt as chunks of rock and ice. And as they speed towards the sun, they heat up and they leave an icy trail behind them, and we might see them as shooting stars. And that is, I think, space as we have never seen it before, right? Friends, you gotta check this book out. It does glow in the dark. It's way fun. And I can't recommend it enough. And that, I think, what do you think, is the end.
If you like the show, please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. It really does help the show to grow. Thank you for listening.